Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Sounds like Arkansas is going to be playing Thanksgiving in Kansas City in the Sprint Center against the final.
I think it's going to be great. I enjoyed going into that building a couple of years ago when we were up there. It's downtown there in the, I think it's the Electric Light District, the Electric Company
Power
District.
Light. Yeah.
Power Light.
Power Light.
Power Light District. And so it's right down in the middle of that area down there. And it was really nice. I enjoyed it. So I'm glad they're playing there. I think that'll be fun for everybody. This is a CBS game. And, you know, as we've kind of discussed, I mean, CBS's deal with the SEC is done. And so most of these television games that Arkansas is involved in with CBS right now in basketball are not going to be played inside the traditional SEC footprint. So Kansas City's kind of a, I know technically they're still part of an SEC state, but I don't think anybody thinks of Kansas City as being, you know, SEC country. So I think it's great. I think it's great. And there's going to be a lot of big opponents in non-conference play.
Yeah, we'll give you some more info on that coming up. It is a football Friday. We've got some college football to talk about, conference realignment, what's going on in recruiting as well. So we got all that to get to in this hour with Chuck. Before we start on that, again, I want to tell you about our friends at River City Coatings. They can handle all your powder coating needs. It's not just a layer of paint. It's part of the metal. It can withstand that chemical abrasions and more. So if you need your metals to last, get power coating from River City Coatings. They have over 25 years of experience, and they have all these different colors they offer. Plus, it's quick, and they can get your project done. So give them a call or check them out online at rivercitycoatings.com. No project too big or too small. Think it might be too expensive? Think it's not possible? Give River City Coatings a call to help you or online at rivercitycoatings.com. All right. So like you said, game's not a necessarily SEC footprint, but Kansas City Sprint Center.
Who cares?
Yeah. College basketball experience, place I've got to take in. It's awesome. They put on a great college basketball set. I've been there for the Big 12 tournament a couple times. But it's kind of sandwiched. Chuck, we talked about how college football is kind of giving up Thanksgiving. You're going to be sandwiched in some NFL stuff. I mean, you've got the Bears and Lions, I guess, right before. And then it's going to be on at around 3 o'clock, it sounds like. And, yeah, that's kind of your setup that day. You got the college basketball with a bunch of NFL to watch. Then you'll be in Columbia that Saturday.
Well, and last year they played on Thanksgiving, too. You know, they were down in the Bahamas then, so at least I think that's where they were. I didn't get to make that trip, so I didn't pay as much attention. But, you know, playing on Thanksgiving is becoming more of the norm in college basketball. And, you know, there's a lot of football on that day. There are a lot of people that prefer college basketball, and they'll be the ones that probably watch the whole game, and others will come and go, and Razorback fans and Illinois fans will probably hang on every play. So I think it'll be good. I'm glad they're doing it.
You think about the setup of the three straight weeks. That Thursday, again, you're going to be in Kansas City against the Fighting Illini. The following Tuesday, you'll be in Miami. And then that supposedly the following Tuesday, I don't think that's official just yet, you're going to be in New York. So three consecutive marquee non-conference matchups in, I wouldn't say the Miami place is prestigious arena, but Sprint Center is a great place to take in. You were kind of joking yesterday. I was listening to the show a little bit yesterday. It's like, oh, where are we going to next? We're going to LA. We're going out west. Where's the next item in the agenda? I think I don't think they're done, Chuck. I mean, I think we're going to hear something about Dallas soon. Maybe a home and home we didn't expect, or maybe we did expect with Kansas. I honestly don't think they're done.
Well, I would imagine there would be at least one more, you know, what we would categorize as maybe a marquee game. I don't know. I don't know who it would be. I have no idea. But they are going to have a formidable schedule. And, I mean, you look at, again, what it was like at Kentucky when he was there. And a lot of this is about the relationships that schools and programs build with television networks, television executives over the years. And, you know, John Calipari, Inc. has done pretty well in virtually every boardroom they've ever walked into, whether it's him or a representative or you know, whomever. And so I would expect the big-time games to continue. I would expect that, you know, John Calipari has always performed on the biggest stage, and I don't think that's going to change. I mean, we've got evidence already that, hey, it's full steam ahead.
Mm-hmm. And there is a couple connections with the Illinois basketball program, Chuck. You've, of course, got Orlando Antigua, who I guess is taking over as Brad Underwood's associate head coach in Champaign. And then I didn't know – I had heard Big Z talk about his brother before, but I didn't know he played college basketball. But he plays for the Fighting Illini, man.
Yeah, Brad Underwood's a really respected coach, and there are those connections, which I think will become more readily apparent. They were probably immediately apparent to people who followed him in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But because they've not been here, it's like, oh, I forgot Orlando Antigua was up there, and I forgot Big Z's brother played up there. We're just going to – and over time, we will. I mean, we'll become more tuned in to maybe, you know, why some of this stuff is happening. You know, Brad Underwood, frankly, probably saved his job last year. He was on the hot seat, and they had a really good year, a really good year. But he's always been a respected coach back to when he was at Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it'll be a good game. They've lost their team. Arkansas lost their teams. They don't have a new coach, but they're going to have a new roster essentially too. So both these guys know how to build basketball teams, and I'm sure it'll be a good game.
You mentioned Stephen F. Austin. So then he goes to Oklahoma State, and then he goes up to Champaign, which I thought at the time was a lateral move, but doesn't seem to be now.
No, respectfully to Oklahoma State, going to Illinois, that's a better job.
Yeah, step up. Bruce Weber took them to, the national championship.
And Oklahoma State's a good job, don't get me wrong, but Illinois is a better job.
Yeah, and then he's been up there, and you mentioned they lost to Arkansas a couple years ago in the NCAA tournament, and then Coleman Hawkins really improves. They get Terrence Shannon from, I guess, Texas Tech. They're both gone now. Hawkins is now a Kansas State Wildcat. Shannon's looking at his NBA prospects, and so it is going to be an intriguing part of that game, the fact that the rosters are so retooled. But again, it sounds like, according to Illinois AD Josh Whitman, that is what's going to happen. Haven't seen an official statement. I guess the one last thing on this, Chuck, is will there be another game featured? Because we know that you've got another game in New York when Arkansas is going to be playing Michigan. I think it's Miami and Tennessee, if I remember that right. I wonder if this will be a standalone game or if there will be another game in addition to it.
I have no idea on that one, Ty. I know that you know, you got a lot of holiday tournaments. You got the Bahamas going. You got the Maui Invitational going. You got a lot of basketball during that week. So I don't know. I have no idea. So I guess we'll find out in the coming days.
Well, we've got still basketball to talk about. Cal had some interesting thoughts on kind of what the NBA looks like the next few years. Boston Celtics win the finals this week. Congrats to Jordan Walsh. Will that continue? Do we need a dynasty for the NBA to improve its ratings and just to help themselves out? Something we'll get into a little bit. But General Ben wants to talk some football this morning. He's on the McLarty Daniel hotline here on a Football Friday. General Ben, you are, I think, want to talk about the first five games of the season. That's right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking about how important they are. And, of course, always the first five games are important. But to my knowledge and memory, I believe this is the first time that we've ever played all four of our non-conference games the first four games of the season. I just don't remember ever doing that. Am I correct on that, or do y'all
There's
know?
One in November in there, Chuck.
Well, we're playing the first three.
Yeah.
We're playing the first three before conference play starts, and then you're going to have Louisiana Tech in late November. That'll be the last game you play before you go to Missouri. So you've got three in a row. I'm sure that's happened, Ben, but I couldn't tell you off the top of my head when.
Well, that's okay. That's all right. But anyway, it was just thinking about, you know, who they are. And I guess I feel this way every year. Those first few games are so important. You know, like, I'm not taking UAPB lightly at all because they're going to want to kill us, you know. And I'm not taking them lightly at all. And then go to Oklahoma State. How important is that? Boy, if we can win that game, that would, you know, kind of rocket us up below, you know, real good. And don't we play who we play our second, third, and fourth game?
Yeah, UAB at home after that, and then you go to Auburn. So, and you're going to have, you're actually going to have five games before the end of September again this year. You're going to go to Auburn after UAB, and then you're going to go to Dallas and play A&M. So, you'll have almost half your schedule under your belt by the end of September.
Wow. Wow.
It's hard to believe, huh? Yeah.
Yes, sure it is. Yes, sure it is. And just like always, you know, I just can't wait for this season to start more than ever. Well, I say that every season, you know, but it's just really going to be interesting. And we do play Texas, right, this year?
Got the Longhorns coming to Fayetteville in November.
16th, yep.
Okay, well, I think they, all of us were saying, so glad we don't have to play Alabama next year. Boy, how wonderful that is. So all we do is just get the team that beat them in place of Alabama, Texas, you know. So anyway, well, I could talk more, but I don't need to take too long, so I just let y'all go. And I'm just so excited about this season and what's going to happen. I just know Bobby's already getting ready for Oklahoma State like he did Georgia, you know, that year that that we played them about the fourth game, and he took all season long, just concentrating on Georgia. And I got a feeling if he could, he'd like to do that with Oklahoma State. But anyway,
thanks, Gentleman. That was an epic game in 2009, Chuck. I know that they got the better of the Razorbacks that night, but Mallett was on fire in Fayetteville.
Yeah, I mean that was a great game. I mean, no doubt that was a great game. I mean, Arkansas, as Ben was saying, I mean, you're going to have some games there early on that you got to get off to a good start. And I mean, you look at the schedule next year. I mean, you look at these conference ball games, and we're not trading up. You know, it's not as good a trade as we make it out to be, getting Texas for Alabama. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough sled again.
This is going to sound weird, but I feel this way. I think you got a better chance of beating Texas, and you, for whatever reason, Alabama, just because of the intensity and the rivalry. But I think Texas is going to have a better season. And it depends on where Arkansas is that late of the year, but they might overlook them, because I think Texas on November the 16th is going to be in contention for going to Atlanta to play Georgia for the SEC championship. Now, again, a lot can happen between now and then, but you're right.
You've come a long way, Ty, from like thinking they were like unready in the SEC.
Well, that's Oklahoma, and I'm glad you brought them up, because I think they're.
I didn't. You did.
Well, you brought up. Yeah, that's fair. But that is Oklahoma, and I still, I guess a week or so later since we've talked about that, feel very strongly about that. Because I think, again, that's some kind of ties into the realignment where I wanted to go from here. But I was just looking at, and it feels weird talking about SMU as an ACC school, or Cal as an ACC school, or BYU and Utah as Big 12. We've got to get used to saying that, or USC and UCLA as Big Ten schools. But I do think there are some that are going to succeed where they're going, and others that are just going to fall flat on their face. And it is going to be
rough. Probably right.
Yeah. The ones I had down, now they're not moving, but I think Oklahoma State, Chuck, and they've got close to a national championship in 2011, but no Texas, no Oklahoma anymore. Gundy wins about 9 or 10 games a year. You know, they never have the best recruits. They're typically in the late 20s, high 30s recruiting class, but he's a really great coach. I think they benefit greatly by Texas and Oklahoma. They're staying put. That might be the program in football that benefits more than anyone else in the country, just based on what they've done the last decade or so. And the fact that the two best schools football-wise in their league consistently are now exiting. I think they might benefit more than anyone else, man.
Well, they're going to have to continue to recruit at the level they have, and that's the thing that I don't know if they'll be able to do. And this goes for the teams that, you know, recruited against Oklahoma, but part of their pitch was you're going to get to play Oklahoma. And when they went into Texas to get players, part of their pitch was you're going to get to come back and play Texas.
That's a good point.
So I don't know. Look, they may be able to pull it off. You may be exactly right. The truth is we'll find out. But I think for a lot of these teams in the leftovers, so to speak, can they continue to recruit at the level that they have? If Oklahoma State can, I mean, you may be right. They may benefit from it a lot.
And they still get to go into Waco and play Baylor and TCU and Fort Worth to play Texas. So there's still some Texas schools, but they don't get the bedlam anymore. And it doesn't sound like that's going to be renewing anytime soon. So they're staying put. A team I had like that's getting added, and I'm going to stay within the Big 12 here. Utah's program, Chuck, has had a lot of consistency. You think about Urban Meyer, Brian Johnson, Alex Smith, some of the notable quarterbacks that he's had. I guess Johnson was probably after him. Then you have Kyle Whittingham, what he's done, taking over. I think Utah going to the Big 12, being in a better position. We saw what they've done in the Pac-12. I think they're prime. I mean, they've got a really good coach. I think they're a line of scrimmage team, and that's not a line of scrimmage league. I think that Utah is in a great position, kind of like Oklahoma State is with two of the quote-unquote power brokers exiting the league.
Well, maybe, and it's kind of like Oklahoma State. I hear what you're saying, but you're operating on the assumption that all these schools are going to be able to recruit at the same level they were before.
Mm-hmm.
For example, look at a lot of those linemen on Utah's team. I don't know the exact makeup of their team, but I know when we played Brigham Young, you know, there were kids from all up and down that Pacific Coast. There were kids from Hawaii. Is your family going to, I mean, you guys headed to Stillwater this weekend? You going to Stillwater this weekend to watch?
One way from Hawaii, Chuck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my point is that with the families that you recruit, you recruit the families too. It's kind of like Oklahoma State. You can go into California, Southern California, and get a great offensive lineman because they're going to come back and play USC because they're going to come back and play UCLA.
That's a good point, yeah.
They're not going to do that now. I brought up Stillwater because when they play on Saturday and the families from Southern California are going to go watch their son play who plays for Utah, they're going to come to Manhattan, Kansas? I mean, they going to Lubbock for the weekend? So I don't know the answers to that. The answer is maybe yes. The answer may be they continue to recruit at the same level they always have.
And that's an angle that has to be.
But I don't know that. We can't assume that. That's part of what makes this new ground. Because, look, if there's certainly the prospect that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to consolidate the best players in college football to an even greater degree, kind of like the SEC's done in baseball, kind of like the ACC's done to a lesser degree in baseball. I think there's that possibility. So I just don't know that the schools that are left over in the Big 12 and the ACC, I just don't know that they're going to be able to recruit at a high enough level. They may get into the playoff, but I don't think any of them are going to play for the championship. Mm-hmm. I just can't see that right now.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Call or text the McClarty Daniel hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Kareem, thank you so much for joining us this morning, man. When you heard the news, what was your reaction to get added to this class?
Man, good morning. I was ecstatic. You know, a lot of people felt that I should have went in there earlier or whatever, but the wait was worth it. I mean, like I said, kid from New York, Bronx, New York, getting to go into the U of A Hall of Fame, it's an honor.
I mean, you're a McDonald's All-American. I know there's kind of a backstory on that we might get into. Arkansas's all-time leading assist leader, top five in the SEC, at over 1,400 points, over 250 steals. Yeah, I would definitely say you're deserving to be a part of this. Now, you mentioned the New York aspect. How exciting is it for you, as a guy from the Bronx, to see your former team play in the mecca of all of basketball, Madison Square Garden, this upcoming December?
Oh, that's going to be crazy. You know, it was funny. I was reading something the other day, and I ran into some Michigan fans at the Summer Street Ball League, and they were talking about when NIT, the postseason NIT, when we played against Michigan and Connecticut. You know, I guess that's the last time and maybe the only time that Arkansas came to New York, if I'm not mistaken. So it was great. You know, it was great. You know, Coach Richardson always said, you know, one of my things when me picking my school was getting a chance to play in New York City in front of my family. You know, I never thought that would be possible going all the way to Arkansas, you know, and that was some of the schools, you know, the hometown schools, you know, that was their thing. You know, I know you want to play in front of your home crowd or whatever. So, you know, that's what St. John's and all that provided. But, you know, the first day I spoke to Coach Richardson in the recruiting period, he said he's going to give me a chance to get back to New York City one way or the other. And it happened for me.
That's awesome. Are you going to try and go this year?
Oh, yes. I'll be there. Uh-huh. You know, especially now this year, we have, you know, some New York ties with a Boogie Flan there, whatever, stuff like that, representing.
Heck yeah.
The Bronx in New York. So, of course, we'll be there heavy to watch the game.
You got DJ, I guess, is from the New Jersey area. You mentioned Boogie being Bronx. So, I mean, there's not a lot of New York connections, Kareem, that have gone to Arkansas to play basketball, but sounds like there's a few more kind of in that area on this roster this year.
Yeah, it's just in the area, like you said. I guess Billy Richmond also, I know he has a lot of jersey ties and stuff like that. So, I mean, it'll be great. And then, of course, Chucky Martin, one of the associate head coaches, he's from my high school, St. Raymond. So, you know, we'll be East Coast down in there this year.
Love that. Now tell me, because if I remember correctly, you played your junior varsity year, and I think that school went away, and you were kind of deciding where you went to school. You mentioned St. Raymond, all-boys school, prestigious. I mean, that's one of the legendary schools in the area. Just kind of take us back to that decision. If I remember right, you guys won a state championship your junior year, and then the following year, you made it all the way to the city championship.
Yes, it was, you know, growing up in New York, the Catholic school was one of the hardest divisions and one of the top divisions in the country, you know. So I had went to the school called St. Nick's the Talentine that produced some greats like Adrian Autry, the coach of Syracuse, Brian Reeves, and, you know, rest in peace to Malik Silly, guys like that. So, you know, trying to follow the tradition and went to a school and went my freshman year, played junior varsity, was 35-1 and won the championship. And 6 days after that, the school closed, you know. So a kid, you know, 15-year-old kid looking, you know, school just closed, not knowing what to do. Visited two public schools for 2-3 days or whatever, but just knew, you know, the the lifestyle I was brought up in, I wasn't going to be able to make it in public school. And then the call came from St. Raymond that he didn't want, you know, out of 70 basketball players, he only wanted, you know, Coach DeCee's only wanted one guy, and that was me. And so it was,
wow,
that was crazy, you know. And, you know, a kid that didn't really do anything or, you know, played well on a stacked JV team, getting a call from St. Raymond's, you know, after that, you know, it was crazy, them winning the championship. So it was crazy going there my sophomore year, you know, playing a little bit, playing in some big games, losing in the quarterfinal game, and as a sophomore, telling my guys, the next returning class right after the game that we was going to win it the next year. And me keeping my promise, me winning in my junior year, and then also going right back to the championship game my senior year, of course, losing to, you know, Felipe Lopez. You know, it was great. And then fast forward, me signing with Arkansas, and they winning the city championship. I mean, they winning the national championship for me coming in as a freshman, so it was crazy. My freshman year in high school and my freshman year in college was kind of similar, you know, yeah, running a championship team.
We're talking with Kareem Reig. He's a part of this 2024 UA Sports Hall of Honor class with us on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. Kareem, you mentioned your conversations with Nolan Richardson, getting a chance to play in New York. Is it correct that you guys first met at the King Kong Classic in Pine Bluff when your team came down there? Is that timeline right?
It's about right. I guess the introduction, I mean, that was the first, I guess, time, I guess, that him seeing me, you know, again. It's funny, my coach tells a story. Gary DeCee tells a story. We was at ABCD camp. Shout out to Sonny Figaro, in Michigan. And it was lunchtime, and my coach was in there with a bunch of, he was also the camp director. He was in there with a couple of camp directors and stuff like that. And Coach Richardson and a bunch of coaches walked in Subway. And Coach Richardson was there, or whatever. My coach approached Coach and was like, I got a perfect guard for you. You know, go watch number 159 on court, you know, court 11, you know. And that was the introduction where Coach must have went over there. And I was one of the last picks as a sophomore. Usually sophomores don't get, you know, invited to that camp, but my coach was the director. So I had a big jersey on. So I had to tie my jersey, like put my jersey over my neck and make an X on it. It was crazy because my jersey was too big. So I stood out like I was one of the guys that stood out the whole camp. So Coach told him that. And I didn't know nothing about it. And then I'm playing in the King Cotton, and Ernie Murray, you know, shout out to one of the Pine Bluff fighting. Ernie Murray really seen me, whatever, saw me. So after I had a great game, I guess one of the local schools. And Ernie asked me, you know, hey, number 12, who's recruiting you? And I didn't have no idea at the time because my coach usually, you know, give you a list for your junior year, to the end of your junior year. So I didn't know, I had no idea who was recruiting me. So fast forward to the next day, we're playing against Fairleigh High School in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So which was Corey Beck's high school and Dwight Stewart and Alma Martin's all of high school. So they were coming down,
oh, wow,
to support their high school to watch us play. So we wound up playing them and I guess beating them. And I guess they went back.
It's like, Coach, we got to get this guy.
We got to get this little guy or whatever. And then the next night we were playing against Trajan Langdon in the finals against Alaska. And when I looked at it, I come out the locker room to get warmed up and going through the warm-ups. And Coach Richardson, the staff, Scotty Thurman, and Corliss is there. Of course, I had met Scotty the previous year in ABCD because he was my counselor.
Mm-hmm.
So it was crazy. Like, it all went hand in hand. And, you know, my first introduction was to Coach, he was legendary to me. He looked like a guy that, you know, was very competitive like I was. Great guy. I stayed especially on him, and we didn't really get Arkansas games or whatever, but I used to always, for some reason, my coach was very strategic with it. He used to always put Arkansas on my face, like, you know, some kind of way, you know, hey, you seen an Arkansas game? Or you look up Arkansas. So I never knew what he was doing, but my coach helped me with that, you know, picking a style of play of
that fit college, you.
You know, picking the right, you know, and that was him with a lot of guys. you know, helping them through the process or whatever, picking the right school, you know, playing-wise, coach-wise, who you can handle and stuff like that, where sometimes these kids, this today doesn't do that. So I want a great shout-out to Coach DeCesar for making that, helping me make that choice and me becoming a Hog.
Kareem, I got two more things before we let you go. Kareem Reed is our guest. He's a newly inducted, soon to be formally in September of the UA Sports 2024 Hall of Honor class. Take me back to Bud Walton Arena, 1999 Auburn. I've been told it's the loudest that gym or the arena's ever been. What was it like to play in that atmosphere?
Oh, it was great, man. Because if you take it back to 1994, 95, I was at the Missouri game, University of Arkansas against Missouri, on ESPN the year I sat out. And I thought that was the loudest game, as me being a spectator, not being able to play. And if you remember that, the electricity went out for a little while on ESPN.
Yeah.
And then you said fast forward to Auburn. Of course, Auburn, you know, was one of the top teams in the country. Chris Porter, those guys or whatever, think maybe they were one or two. It was senior night. We was coming off beating, I don't know how it went. I know we beat Auburn and Kentucky the same week. And it's a picture that me standing on the table in front of, I guess I was the first one, the guy to jump on the table and, you know, take off my shirt and stuff like that. But we couldn't hear nothing. You know, they were running plays and probably was like 10 shot clock violations from them because they didn't know what was going on. The crowd was tremendous. It was rocking, it was jamming, it was shaking for real. When you go in the arena, it was like black. Bud Walton was brand new, and it felt like it was shaking, like the floor was getting ready to come up. That's how loud it was in there.
That's awesome. Kareem, last question. I think a lot of people always kind of like to catch up with former Razorbacks, not just the glory days, but hey, what are you doing now? Like, what's going on? So you're coaching and mentoring of some sort, correct?
Yes. The last 2 years, I ran and coached my own prep school in Virginia. Coached over, since leaving and coming back, getting my degree. Coached about five or six and mentored over maybe 30 college and NBA guys recently or whatever. Worked with some great guys. Worked with Bryson Warren, helping him also, a Little Rock native. Just doing that. Any way I can possibly help. Mentoring, you know, young kids, athletes, you know, dealing with situations and getting them ready for college, but also serving them, serving the purpose, you know, just trusting the process, you know, getting the kids to, you know, helping them with their development on and off the court. You know, we always talk about building champions, so I'm with that on and off the court.
Well, based on what you said about the mentors in your life, it's pretty cool that you're kind of taking what they did for you and then giving back to some kids nowadays. So that's a cool cool background on that. Well, Kareem, we really appreciate your time. Again, congratulations on the 2024 UA Sports Hall of Honor class. I know it's going to be exciting to be back in Fayetteville on September the 13th, right before the UAB game. And I know a lot of Razorback fans are happy to see your name being included.
Yes, I'm ecstatic. I'm happy. Can't wait to bring the family there. I'm bringing half of New York with me. And the guys will never get a chance. And people that thought Arkansas was next to Arizona, they get a chance to, you know, feel Arkansas love.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So I still think there is some meat on the bone of the college football discussion that we had a little bit earlier with the realignment and what's going on there. Chuck, I had not thought about the recruiting aspect. For those that missed it, in hour one. We talked about maybe some teams that were going to have success, or I thought some teams that might have success moving to certain conferences or staying put. I think Oklahoma State is set to still have a lot of success based on where they currently are in the pecking order of college football, specifically the Big 12. And I mentioned Utah, and I had not thought about like their positioning the Pac-12 from a recruiting standpoint easier for a lot of Hawaii kids or family members, I should say, to fly in, and now they're playing in like the South and the Big 12, and that's maybe a difference. Oklahoma and Texas, though, I think people, a lot, you talk to Oklahoma and Texas fans like Brian and Ozark, that feels very strongly that Texas is going to enter the league and have success in football. I feel that way, too. I don't feel that way about Oklahoma, though. I still, maybe I'll be proven wrong. Maybe Brent Venables and that staff and that team will prove me wrong this year. But I see them going like 7-5, man.
Here's the thing that Texas and Oklahoma are going to have to deal with that they've not dealt with before. Now, I don't know how it's going to affect their records. They may handle all this fine, but it's going to be different. I'll just give you an example. Texas plays Georgia the week after they play Oklahoma. They're not going to Iowa State or someplace like that. They're playing Georgia. All right? The week after that, I want to see how Texas, the week after the Oklahoma game, responds against Georgia. And then the week after that, they go to Vanderbilt. Now, I know that doesn't sound like much, but you've played Texas and Georgia. Might have lost twice. At the very least, you're going to be physically beaten up. You're going to go to a stadium nobody wants to go to. It's probably going to be 11 o'clock in the morning, might even be raining. I want to see how you handle that. That's a game they should win, will win, but I want to see how they handle it. I want to see how they handle Texas A&M and Kyle Field the week after they've played Kentucky. Now, they may beat Kentucky, but Kentucky plays a physical brand of football. And then you look at Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma's first conference games with Tennessee. Josh Heupel homecoming, back to Norman. Mm-hmm. But then they go to Auburn. I want to see how they play at Auburn. After they play Tennessee, 2 weeks later they play at Ole Miss. 2 weeks after that they play at Missouri. And then they close with Alabama and LSU back-to-back. Now my point in all this is, how do you hold up? Texas and Oklahoma over the years have fared well against SEC teams, but it's been a one-time deal.
That's a great point.
Alabama and Texas played early in the year before attrition took over. Or you get somebody in a bowl game. And whether we want to argue about who's better or not, the reality is some teams are happier to be there than others. That's the reality of bowl games. But they've not done it yet week after week after week. And I can tell you, as one who's watched virtually every play we've played since we joined the Southeastern Conference, it is about attrition up front. And I'll give you an example how it affects the league. Let's say you got a left tackle playing with a high ankle sprain. Well, their defensive end's just whipping his butt all day. He's well enough to play, but not well enough to play well. He's just out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that defensive end gets around that left tackle and, boy, he puts his helmet right in the small of that quarterback's back, and he's out for the rest of the game. How do they respond when that happens? Because it's going to. It's going to happen. Now, they may handle it fine, but I want to see them do that. Oklahoma's got a great overall record against the SEC, and that's given them a lot of hope, and it should. Texas played Alabama toe-to-toe last year.
Past two years.
Ought to give them hope. But I want to see what they do in November. When four of their five offensive linemen are battling high ankle sprains, because that's the reality in a line of scrimmage league. This is not glorified 7-on-7. And I want to see how they react to it. Again, I'm not suggesting that anybody's going to have a better record than anybody else this year. I think Arkansas is going to have to scramble to win every game they can this season. But I think it's going to be a whole lot different for Texas and Oklahoma when they got to do this week after week after week.
I think even looking at last year, so Quinn Ewers gets injured for the Longhorns, and they kind of just kind of, I don't know, took a step back because they still won games, but they coasted, and you can't do that. in the SEC, like you're saying. So for whether it's an injury to a quarterback, the certain lines of scrimmage. Now, Texas did lose a lot on the line of scrimmage, not just guys, the skill position players like Xavier Worthy, who's now a Kansas City Chief, but they lost, I think, two defensive tackles that went second and third round, maybe first and second round. So they're going to have to reload and replenish there, which they've done. They've done a good job at recruiting, but it's the week in, week out process that is something to intrigue by. Again, that happens July the 1st. They'll be officially conference members in this league. It's going to be weird to say that, but I think, again, Texas is better suited to acclimate to the conference than maybe the Oklahoma Sooners are. Now, Chuck, and when we look at kind of outside the SEC, I know Lincoln Riley's caught a lot of heat lately for trying to back out of the LSU game, and then they're out of the Ole Miss game. And I was hoping to see Lane Kiffin go back to Southern California to take on his former team. I think that's a marquee game and a matchup that a lot of non-Ole Miss and USC fans would watch, but it's not going to happen. USC has been a team over the years that has had a lot of success, specifically under Pete Carroll. I know teams of Pat Hayden back in the day, they've had some good, but I just don't know how suited. I know they're in Los Angeles, and I know they've got money, but them and UCLA, I just don't know how suited they are to survive that gauntlet that is the Big Ten. It's not 100% to the level of the SEC, but it's the closest in college football that we have conference to conference to what this league is.
You know, I'm not sure what all these geographic differences are going to mean when they start playing the games, you know, because once the game starts, it's a football game, regardless mm-hmm. of where you're playing. But there's an undeniable factor when it comes to travel and the way the schedule plays out and all the things that are going to come into that. And in the case of moving to the Big Ten, the increased competition, I mean, it's going to be tougher week in and week out. They're going to be playing in weather they're not used to playing in by the time you get to November in some of these places. So I tend to believe USC and UCLA and Oregon, I tend to believe they're going to find it to be a little bit more of a struggle initially, with the exception maybe of Oregon. I don't think Lincoln Riley's going to last long at USC. It would not surprise me if this was not his last year, because he's coaching at a place now where all the decisions are being made based on financial survival because of the dismantling of the Pac-12. And when everything in that building every day revolves around the fact that we're broke, or the possibility we may be broke moving forward, as an athletic department, it just doesn't seem to me like football's driving the bus there the way it once did. And I'm not sure that's a drivable bus with them moving to the Big Ten. I just think that's such an odd fit that over time, and it may not take long, I think it's going to take a toll on those West Coast programs.
Or like Cal going to the ACC. I mean, there's some driving that and flying.
Well, yeah, and it you know, it goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier. There's so much more than just what we watch on television. The recruiting of players, the recruiting of families, you know, what's the travel going to be like for families to watch kids play? Are they going to go to places where they feel comfortable going? You know, all of us have certain places we like to go and certain places we go and think I'm not ever going back. And so you've got all those things to deal with. And I'm just not sure that, while I think it's going to be a financial win for a lot of these schools, I think it's going to affect the one loss record.
If you've got some thoughts on this, jump in here. McCarty Daniel Hotline is wide open for you. 877-377-6963. Have you heard of MD Hair Labs in Northwest Arkansas? DJ Williams, Josh Throne's place. I mean, it is unbelievable what they can do there. Maybe you're feeling a little more tired than usual. You're gaining weight. Not feeling like yourself. If you're a man over 30, it just happens. And sometimes it's due to low testosterone. But they've got you covered at MD Hair Labs and Vitality Center. They've got these flexible options. They've got weekly in-clinic injections, convenient at-home prescriptions, or a super easy TRT pellet program. Only requires a visit every 4 to 6 months. What's the best part? It's located, again, centrally in Northwest Arkansas on Rogers, right by Topgolf. So you don't have to go out of your way. It's easy, and you can fit it into your schedule. Right now, they're offering a consultation, on-site testosterone test, for just $49. It's the perfect time to check your levels and see if TRT is right for you. Just go to mdhairlabs.com to schedule your free consultation. That's mdhairlabs.com. Get to feeling your best with MD Hair Labs and Vitality. So, Chuck, to take a break from football just for a second, some college stuff. Donald Sutherland, dead at 88 years old. Now, I know Donald Sutherland from basically two things. The Hunger Games and Animal House. Didn't know he was in MASH, so I kind of did some stuff this morning. Been in JFK. But I saw he passed away yesterday.
Yeah. He was in the movie that inspired the television show with Elliot Gould. The original MASH movie is what inspired the TV show. And he was in that and in a lot of other things, too. Ordinary People, back when I was a high school kid, I think was a popular movie. And yeah, he's been around a long time, or was around a long time. Very accomplished.
Yep, very accomplished actor in a variety of things. Again, he got a look. His son Kiefer was in 24, which I know that some of you have watched. I never got a chance to watch it, but I know it's a very good show based on some of the feedback I heard. But just thought that was interesting. I know it's Chuck, I know it's a part of it. I just feel like we keep losing people on whether it's a national sports figure, actors, actresses. I know the close to home ones being Ryan and Alex and some of the other guys that we've lost recently. It just seems like it's more prevalent. Maybe it's not, but it just feels that way to me.
Well, we've had things that have hit home, you know, so to speak. And, you know, that's, I'm not sure statistically, you know, how it stacks up, but I know it. When you have tragedy or when you have loss, in this case, living to be 88, you know, that's not a tragic death, respectfully. Willie Mays living to 93, I mean, those are lives to be celebrated, but nothing's guaranteed, that's for sure.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
On the line, the Michigan Wolverines and the Miami Hurricanes.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Good to be on with you. Yeah, so, you know, I'm not sure if you're aware, but I consult teams at all levels of college basketball, all 32 leagues. So I get to hear different games come together and actually help put games together behind the scenes. So, you know, that thing's been in the works for a while. We finally, on my website, bracketeer.org, put together our first of several conference pages. The Big Ten page went up last week, and I think that was time to finally just put that out there, because Illinois and Arkansas have been working on that for about a good month now. And they're also going to tie that Thanksgiving game to what they call a multi-team event, which is an MTE in college basketball lingo. And that's where each team will also take on at least one home game. You probably noticed now that both Arkansas and Illinois will play Oakland. So one yep. could assume that Oakland might be part of that. But actually, I don't think they are, because Arkansas is not going to play Oakland until late December. So we're still kind of waiting to figure out which team or two are going to take those slots. But it is really exciting for both Arkansas and Illinois to play. I believe that's going to be a nationally televised game right after NFL football. So I think those are just some of the details they were trying to figure out for the last month, is what city it would be in and what network would carry the game.
Yeah, it sounds like CBS right after the Lions and Bears. Yeah. So it's Rocco, you've got the SEC's not really touching football that day because of the NFL stronghold on Thanksgiving. But listen, I love me some college basketball, so I'm pumped about that upcoming game. Now, that's not an SEC on SEC game, but Rock, I wonder from your vantage point, you mentioned consulting teams and stuff. SEC basketball is further behind than its football, which has been in a part of every national championship or college football playoff since 2006, or their baseball team, or baseball teams, which I think have been a part of every national championship since 2017. I think everyone since like 2008, with the exception of COVID in 2016. How does SEC basketball get better? Cal still stay in the league, but what are some other areas that they can improve upon as a whole, as a conference?
Yeah, I think the SEC in the last 5 years has made tremendous strides. That, you know, I think historically in college basketball, the SEC in some years has not even been a top five league. And of course, you know, 10 years ago, somewhere between 5-10 years ago, the league really stepped up its investment in overall basketball strength. Not just having a couple top teams like Kentucky, you know, historically at the top there, but you see schools like Alabama hired Nate Oates and Auburn bring in Bruce Pearl before that. And even when Arkansas brought in Musselman, it was a huge shot in the arm for Arkansas getting to three straight Sweet 16s, a couple Elite Eights. And it's now starting to spread wide. You know, you see schools like Mississippi State, it's gone to back-to-back tournaments. You saw South Carolina go from last place to a chance to get first place last year. And it's so I think what the SEC has right now, and you could argue this, is the best collection of head coaches from top to bottom out of any league. Now, I think what gets tricky is the league going from 14 to 16 teams, obviously adding Texas and Oklahoma. Those are not slouch programs by any means either. But, you know, Oklahoma was the first team left out of the tournament last year, and Texas was a really solid, solidly in tournament team. So I think what's going to end up happening is you're just going to have lots of carnage in the middle of the league, and it's going to be imperative for Arkansas, obviously, to keep up with Alabama, Kentucky, Auburn, the teams that are really invested in high level talent, and of course hiring Calipari and bringing in the talent that they are. I think Arkansas is doing everything they can to stay on top, and of course, you know, the game now is more about acquiring talent through different NIL vehicles, building staffs that are much larger than ever before. So each school has up to five assistant coaches plus a general manager. So the game's changed a lot. You know, I've talked to a lot of head coaches that compare it to the G League. The G League has, you know, only been around for 10, 20 years overall, but it's a year-to-year league where you have to be nimble. You have to be used to players coming and going. And for better or worse, that's what high-level college basketball is now. And so Arkansas is as well-positioned, and the SEC is as well-positioned as any league in the country. And so I think what they have to do is just continue to play big games, be in the spotlight, you know, doing the things like playing this Thanksgiving game and the ACC-SEC Challenge. I think the money that also comes from football and other sports is inevitably going to continue to keep the basketball at the forefront as well. So the resources are not going anywhere. In fact, they're only growing. And for me personally, I just think the arrow has been pointing straight up for the league for the last 5 years, and it's going to continue to point up.
You mentioned Madison Square Garden. We had former Ridgeback Kareem Reed on earlier. He's from the Bronx, so I know he's pumped about that. You mentioned the ACC-SEC Challenge. Arkansas will be playing Miami, which is a recruiting hotbed, not just for football, but basketball. I guess my question is maybe a game on the horizon. Cal had mentioned Dallas at SEC spring meetings. I know that there's maybe a possibility of playing the Kansas Jayhawks in a home-and-home of some sort. Rocco, in your opinion, is there another marquee game that Arkansas fans can look forward to on their schedule that hasn't necessarily been announced yet?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of the same things. And you know, in scheduling, you have to be careful because, you know, the teams themselves, and I do think there are plans to be a game to be announced in Dallas sometime in the near future.
Okay.
However, in scheduling, you know, some mornings I wake up and I talk to a team that completely changed their mind from the night before. And I'm not saying that's going to happen with Arkansas. I'm just saying you can't really ever bank on anything until a contract is signed. And so you would like to see that come together. Of course, Calipari is, with all the years he was at Kentucky, he was used to playing in the Champions Classic every year to start the season, which would get him a guaranteed game against a blue blood program. And then, of course, they were part of the CBS Sports Classic, which was a rotating series against either North Carolina, Ohio State, or UCLA. So that's almost like two guaranteed blue blood games, plus they had their in-state rival with Louisville. So Calipari is used to being on the big stage. And don't forget that John Calipari is also the president of the NABC, which is the National Association of Basketball Coaches. So his reach in scheduling is probably greater and stronger than any coach in America. And so basically whatever they want to take on, they're going to be able to find those games. And you know, I'm sure him convincing Kansas to play might not take a lot of convincing as it would for several other programs. Now, we know that Kansas already has games with NC State, Missouri, and they have to play the Champions Classic. So it really just it's probably just a bandwidth question for if it comes together this year. But I certainly wouldn't be surprised if that comes together in the near future, maybe for 25, 26. And then again for, you know, other rumored games as well. For the Dallas game, I've had my eye on Baylor, but I don't know for sure if that's who the opponent would be. But
my dad's a Baylor alum, Rocco. I would love that because they've beat Arkansas the past two times.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have any direct knowledge on that. It's just I've looked at every team's schedule, and the only one that would really fit based on not announcing their big primetime games yet is Baylor as a top 20 team. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if I'm right on that. I could easily be wrong. But I'm sure the schedule is always going to be exciting as long as you have Calipari at running the program there.
Rocco Miller is our guest. Bracketeer.org is where you can find not only his bracket, others' brackets, and his scheduling information. Rocco, we'll let you go with this, man. I want you to talk about this kid, Oliver Rue, the Florida freshman, 7'9", apparently the tallest teenager in the United States, I think even the world right now. Played at IMG Academy a little bit. I've been watching stuff that I guess Todd Golden's social media team has been posted. For those who don't know, there's a 7'9" center that plays at Florida. Florida's not on the schedule this year, which is kind of wild. So you won't see him until maybe Nashville or the NCAA tournament. But as Rockers, we let you go. How did this kid not end up at Purdue, man? How is he not playing for Matt Painter?
Yeah, well, it's funny. At 7'7", he's extremely raw. You know, and I'm saying 7'7" last year. So out of last year, he was recruited as a 7'7" prospect. And, of course, by the time he made it on the Gainesville campus in the last couple of weeks, he's now 7'9", which is just crazy. But he's still only 18. He's got limited basketball experience. And I think, you know, I'm pretty close with the Florida staff. We go back to their time when they worked at San Francisco, and Todd does a terrific job, and so does the whole staff. And I honestly think from their standpoint, it's taking a flyer and trying to work with him. I would not expect much out of him in this first year. It's a grown man sport now, especially at the SEC level. If you're going to play a freshman, you're going to have to be extremely athletic and skilled. Now, maybe they plug him in for a few minutes to help with foul trouble or get defensive stops or a rebound or just throw the other team off. But I wouldn't expect anything from him until maybe his sophomore or after a redshirt year, because they've really got to spend some time developing his game and, you know, seeing how much he can really do at 7'9". I mean, it's a big mystery, but I think it's a flyer worth taking, and that's the way they approached it. And Florida actually does go to Arkansas. They play each other once. Be there in Fayetteville, but so I think that's my overall take. It'll be an interesting story. I hope the best for the kid. I hope he I hope he has a chance to really succeed. It's just gonna be really difficult in one of the best leagues in the country.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.